Hey everybody, here on the Pack-A-Day podcast, we're all about look good, play good, and that's why I'm super excited to announce our new sponsor, Oakley. Oakley is changing the game and it's time to discover a whole new world of possibilities. Do you run, golf, work out, or just want to look like Aaron Jones? Then you need to get yourself a pair of Oakleys today. Last season, I saw Aaron Jones wearing his signature Oakley sunglasses and I knew I had to have a pair. My Oakleys fit me perfectly and I've loved Oakley's style since I was a kid. There's just that extra boost of confidence I get when I'm wearing them and that's why I wear them every single day. Suited for everyday eyewear with frames and lenses that allow for an expression of your own unique personality, there's more than meets the eye. With summer just around the corner, you're going to want to upgrade your sunglasses game right now. Check out Oakley.com to get yourself a pair. Personally, I'm a huge fan of the frog skins. Did you know that Oakley even offers prism lens technology? What the hell is that, you ask? It's a proprietary technology to Oakley and available for everyday settings as well. Want to know more? I know you do, so head over to Oakley.com and do your own research. And while you're there, get yourself a pair of everyday glasses that'll be sure to change your look for the better. When you wear Oakley, there really is more than meets the eye. Don't trust me? Try for yourself. I've worn a lot of sunglasses brands in my life, and I can assure you, Oakley is not only the best looking, but the best quality out there. Head over to Oakley.com for more information today.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Pack-A-Day Podcast listeners? I am Matt Fralick. Welcome into a Saturday edition of Pack-A-Day Podcast. I, of course, am joined with my good friend and partner, co-host, Eli Berkovitz. Eli, it has been a minute since we have recorded. The last time people heard us, it was just knuckles deep in the NFL draft, if not right that following weekend with Rob Rieger. It's awesome to get into the draft talk. Fortunately, this week, there's been a ton of stuff related to the Packers and the NFL. Obviously, they get the draft, the new NFL rule, and OTAs are in full swing. This will be now, as we pre-record this, so bear with us. Some people say, hey, Eli, Matt, why are you pre-recording this episode? It's like, well, one, we've missed out on a couple episodes in a row where we haven't recorded. Number two, we're trying to fulfill our dedication to the people listening and our team part of Pack-A-Day Podcast. So if there is something that's a little bit time sensitive, we don't have a great excuse like Andy did when he went, you know, over to Italy and was still putting out YouTube content and, you know, coordinating and orchestrating the podcast side. But like I mentioned, so this podcast is coming out on Saturday. We're recording on Wednesday, a little bit shooting from the hip here. So there are 3 days as we, you're listening to this, 3 days of OTAs that have concluded. They will continue again on the 30th, the 31st, back again on June 2nd, and then go back again June 5th, 6th, and 8th. But basically 2 days in from when we're recording, we're assuming Friday. Hopefully it doesn't have any huge news. If it does, you'll never hear this episode ever. But Eli and I are going to get into this and break down some of the, like, the main headlines we're seeing from OTAs, at least position battle-wise, Eli. I think it's interesting to look at. You and I were kind of recording or talking ahead of time about players that are missing from OTAs this year. And we mentioned, you know, both of us being a Aaron Rodgers fan, that typically it was Aaron Rodgers that'd be mentioned that was missing OTAs. Well, the list is still long. You've probably already heard this through the YouTube content side or the podcast side, but Dallin Leavitt, not in attendance. He's probably and Jonathan Govern, probably the least notable names on this list. And then you have the superstars from Jaire Alexander, Rasul Douglas, David Bakhtiari, Elgton Jenkins, Preston Smith that haven't been at OTAs. Obviously, the O in OTAs, Eli, optional. You don't have to show up. And also notable from Rob Demoski, who I believe tweeted this out on Tuesday, wanted to mention that Leavitt, Bakhtiari, Jenkins, and Smith have been here for most of the offseason programming, whatever that looked like for the Packers. So, Eli, great to finally connect with you again on the podcast. I want to first get your thoughts on, you know, what is your thoughts of OTAs thus far? I know there's not a lot of pull from it. Seems like from what Andy has talked about on the podcast, or excuse me, on the YouTube side, something I gathered from one of the videos recently was that it seemed like access to OTAs has been a little bit more limited, or at least early last week did it with the rookie camp, I think it was. So your thoughts thus far, if anything, on the OTAs? I know we're not very far into it. And then why don't you start us off with maybe your like first positional group you're interested to see how it transitions to the next maybe week and a half.
Yeah, so starting out, excuse me, I think probably for anyone and any Packer fan, obviously Jordan Love, and looking, you know, seeing how he looks going and running that offense is the number one thing I was looking out for initially. And, you know, like to be expected, there's been ups and downs. Obviously, we're not there. We're not seeing it all. But from what we're seeing on Twitter from who is there, some nice throws, obviously some throws he's missed. But overall, definitely seeming, I think, more positive than negative. And that's, I think, the most important thing. And then there's just so much, I feel like, unknown, like more than, I mean, obviously with Jordan Love, but even outside of him with this team more than we've had in a very, very long time. Usually the Packers are a team that even outside of Rodgers, you kind of have that core that's been around for a while. And yes, you still have, you know, Aaron Jones, Kenny Clark, Jair, you kind of still have that. But then, I mean, once you get outside of four or five guys, you're not just talking about like not core guys. You're talking about either rookies or second year guys, guys that really have not been around a lot. So, you know, it's exciting to see who's going to step up, who's going to be that guy, who's going to be the surprise, who unfortunately may be a disappointment. Like there's so much unknown and more unknown, I think, than we've ever seen, or at least in a long time, that it definitely makes it more exciting. And I think, as you asked originally about the position group, I think for me, I mean, yeah, I think receiver, it's just that it's probably a bit of a not boring, but like classic. You know, a lot of people, it's always like, what's going to happen to receiver? Who's going to get that spot? But obviously you have Watson and Dobbs at the top, but behind them, you have just a wide open range of, you know, Samori Toure, who had, when given opportunity, looked pretty, you know, serviceable, at least as a rookie. Supposedly he put on 8 to 12 pounds, looks really, really good. He's been kind of like, I would say, the most, not that it's been a ton of buzz, but of anyone that I've been hearing buzz about, seems like Samori Toure is getting a lot of it. And then obviously you have second round pick Jaden Reed, and then high upside guys like Dontayvion Wicks and Grant Dubose, and then even Bo Melton. So there are a lot of bodies there, a lot of young bodies, a lot of guys with high talent, a lot of speed. So it's just exciting to see how that all is going to shake out. And I think most importantly, it's just going to be Matt LaFleur getting the guys that, number one, Jordan Love is the most comfortable throwing the ball to, but then also just putting them in simple situations to get open. They're young guys, but they're, you know, they're talented, obviously. They're fast, crossers, mesh, stuff like that. Nothing too long breaking kind of routes. Let Love get rid of the ball quick, close to the line of scrimmage, and let these guys make plays after the catch, which is a big reason of why you drafted them, because a lot of them are great at that. So it's an exciting and new feeling kind of time in Green Bay right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, we thought last year, right, 2022, you looked at the receiving core and it was like, okay, no more Devonta Adams, but you still had, you know, you had some promising, obviously, Watson, who was drafted. Romeo Doubs, up until about August, we weren't really sure where he would fit in. He continued to grow as a darling and, you know, definitely had some injury issues. And I think that buzz didn't last as much through the training camp and preseason. It lasted longer during those times than it did in the regular season. But you still had the likes of, you know, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Sammy Watkins, which, you know, again, a lot of buzz, but didn't really manifest in anything. But now you look at it going into this offseason, and it is just such a young group. There is not that OG, you know, veteran there to hold things down that can just, you know, talk about maybe what the Matt LaFleur offenses looked like, or carry something over from maybe a previous regime in an offense that, well, there would be some continuity. I mean, it is vastly different just from a 2-year stretch. And I think, like you mentioned, the Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, something extremely unfortunate would have to happen for them not to be number one and two. I am really excited to see what Jaden Reed can do, and that competition between Samori Toure. I would 100% agree that the most buzz of really any offensive player that I've heard thus far, I would say for the last maybe 6 weeks, 7 weeks, has been around Samori Toure, just based around like where everyone thinks he can go. You mentioned his added weight. I think that's a massive thing for him. He didn't really have much of a game. He had that one like kind of broken touchdown last year where he ran a really nice route like after the fact. But really, like, you're looking for him to probably step up and at least compete in that slot receiver role. And then all those other guys you mentioned, all the other rookies, right? Dubose, Wicks. I mean, there's other guys on this roster. They just signed Jadakiss Bonds the other day, a kid, I think, out of Hampton University. So, like, we'll see if he can contribute. Bo Melton's one that we've actually heard of that's been on the roster longer than a couple weeks being drafted. So I'm excited to see what the receiver group looks like. Obviously, you know, any continuity that Rodgers had with Christian Watson last year is out the window, or with Romeo Doubs. It's a whole new this is what Jordan Love's offense is going to look like. I think everyone's predicting that it's going to be a brand new look for this offense where it's like, okay, we're really going to have to rely on the scheme and the strategy of this offense based off of Matt LaFleur's play calling and what he likes to run, instead of it just being improv once in a while from Aaron Rodgers and having his skill set take over substantially. So I think just overall the receiving core, there's a lot of question marks there. And I definitely think this is the time for guys to shine and guys to, you know, climb to the top, because like I mentioned, Romeo Doubs, we had this with him last offseason where he was a darling and ended up, it worked out for him, but it wasn't like the max potential I think a lot of people had, which is we tend to get into those stir crazy moments in July and August where we think these guys can exceed. Another one I want to bring up is, I mean, I'm on the offensive side of the ball, I feel pretty well established of where things are at. Do I feel confident that all these young guys are going to contribute right away? Not necessarily. Like, am I really jacked about Danny Etling or Sean Clifford at the backup quarterback position? Not necessarily. We'll see what happens as they progress. The tight end spot, I think, is again similar to the receiving core. It's like, okay, you don't have a Robert Tonyan or a Mercedes Lewis there anymore. It is basically a wide open opportunity for Musgrave and Kraft to take over. But the one in the running back position obviously seems pretty locked down. But the one I want to kind of bring up that I was coming into this episode with is just the fact that I was listening to Andy's YouTube Pack-A-Day podcast or Pack-A-Day episode, I think it was from Tuesday or Monday, and just talking about what he had seen at OTAs through the first 2 days. And he kind of, you know, again, 20 to 25 minute episode, he's going through it, he's breaking down what, you know, Rob Domofsky's blogging about, he's breaking down tweets, he's all this other stuff. And one that he brought up when I was listening today was Sean Ryan getting reps at center. Obviously Sean Ryan was suspended for most, if not all, of the season last year, if I do recall. Came out of UCLA, I believe, was a tackle at that time, and getting reps at like center seems strange to me. I don't think it's that peculiar based off of what Josh Myers did this past season. Also, you know, Jake Hansen's still on the roster, which is great. I believe he signed a tender this offseason. So that's kind of a dicey spot. And I think just how it went last year for Myers and the fact that they're trying to just find someone that can take over there. Mind you, Jake Hansen was never a true center coming out of Oregon. I think he was a center slash guard at that point. So I'm kind of interested with that. And then you top it all off with the fact that it's not Aaron Rodgers under center anymore. It's Jordan Love. So some of those things, maybe that, you know, I don't want to necessarily say I know the ins and outs of what it takes to be a center in the league and what kind of checks they're making at the line. But I understand they generally are the captain of the offensive line. I'm sure it helps when you have a really, really, established veteran savvy player like Aaron Rodgers under center in comparison to Jordan Love. I guess, Eli, do you got any like concerns about the center spot? Because I think overall, unless there's an offensive position that I mentioned that I'm glassing over, feel free to dig into those. And like offensive line wise, I think that's the only one there's concerned, because top to bottom, you know, for starters and even some backups with Royce Newman and Yash Nijman, solid guys. Like, I think it's pretty well set besides that center spot.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to bring up right tackle just on the off chance that maybe Yash gives Zach Tom a run for his money in camp, which, I mean, I guess is possible, but I agree that he will likely probably be the backup. And that is, in my opinion, a tremendous third tackle to have on your team. Yeah. But looking at center, it is very interesting to see Sean Ryan taking snaps there, because again, it's not like he came out as a center and this was something we were expecting to see, especially after what his rookie season amounted to. And, you know, him being a third round pick, like all of it is built up to this idea that like Sean Ryan, like what can we actually expect from you now? Which is silly, because let's be real, it's year two. Yes, obviously not a great start to get suspended in year one, and being a third round pick has not been great for Packer, you know, players, but let's be real, that's obviously not a real thing. It's just unfortunate. So looking at it, I mean, I don't think Josh Myers should be sitting around like, well, unless I really screw up, like I'm good, like this is my job. Like, no, I think his job is definitely on the line. You have between Ryan taking snaps, you mentioned Hansen, and then people, I mean, it's unlikely, but in a worst case scenario, I mean, Elton Jenkins obviously played center in college and has experience there. So there are people that can easily replace Myers at center if he starts to slip. And I do like the point that you brought up with Jordan Love being a young quarterback, having a center. When Aaron Rodgers came in, he had Scott Wells, who was terrific, and they grew together, and then he went straight from Wells. Well, I guess he had Evan Dietrich Smith for a while, but basically straight to Lindsley. And it mattered. I mean, to only essentially play with two or three centers throughout most of your career, it helps a lot. So I think a big part of it is who Love is going to trust, who Love communicates with the best. And from there, like, I don't like, if it's Myers, great. If it's not Myers, I don't care. He was a second round pick. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. Put the best guy out there and the guy that Love feels the most comfortable with.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like you mentioned, the top of what you're saying, it's like, yeah, I don't think Myers can. I think he just needs to have a fire under him, and to find some sort of synergy between him and Love, I think is massive for his success, because whatever success he had in his rookie year before he was injured is kind of out the window, right? You have a brand new everything. Everything's new on this offense, and it's going to be a whole new look. So it's, he needs to kind of get his shit together, honestly. Right tackle, I think that's a good one to bring up, but I'm pretty confident whoever they would roll out there, they would be in great shape. But right now that center spot is like, it's Myers' spot to lose. Yes, he has a second round pick, but like all these other guys can play multiple positions where he's kind of just like only a center, where Hanson can play multiple positions, Ryan can play multiple positions, and he's almost the odd man out if you look at this offensive line of guys that don't play multiple positions. Anything on the defensive side, Eli? I think there's maybe the same amount, maybe a couple more on the defensive side, but what are your thoughts right now as far as the defense? I know it sounded like Keyshawn Nixon kind of had a really, really good practice on Tuesday. It sounds like he was really bringing the energy out there, which is awesome. Like, if you can get, you know, not only him to be a good kick returner, punt returner, but like if he can contribute in that dime spot or even just like be an energy guy, which I feel like they've absolutely lacked on this team for years, or at least to have a number of them with like sustained energy, not where Jair mouths off once in a while and then kind of goes quiet for a few weeks. Like, I think he's a dude, but overall, like kind of what are things you've seen from the defensive side, but overall, like what matchups are you really looking forward to as we transition into the summer?
Yeah, I think there probably are more or close or at the very least the same like on defense in terms of position battles and probably more interesting ones, because I do think like no doubt starting jobs are going to be won or lost as opposed to the offensive side where we're talking about depth kind of battles, except for maybe at center. But on defense, sorry, I don't know what's going on in my throat today, but you just mentioned Nixon, so I guess let's start there. You know, looking at who might end up be lining up in the slot, Nixon has been showing, you know, good stuff here in OTAs. You know, Savage was put there towards the end of last year and wasn't necessarily phenomenal, but I think better than what he was doing at safety, so that there's an option there. And, you know, looking at, I'm trying to think of the corners they have. I mean, you're not really going to put, even though people have talked about Jair in the slot, I don't think it really makes a lot of sense. So that is going to be an interesting battle. I would love if Nixon can come out on top, because I do agree his energy and just his general like attitude, like he just has that attitude and like anger, like kind of this, like almost like a Mike Daniels kind of played with that, but like Packers defenses don't generally have that, and he has a lot of it, which would be really nice. And they do have to figure out a plan at nickel, especially while Stokes is going to be out, and then who knows, you know, Rasul, we got to figure out. I mean, assuming he's going to be at corner, I don't think at this point they're switching him to safety. But what I'm also really interested, honestly, in seeing is, and it's just going to be probably for the start of the season, but I think it's going to say a lot about the person who's out there, is who starts week one in place of Rashawn Gary, assuming he is not playing week one. So we all know how good of a season Kingsley Enagbare had last year. Really, really exciting from a fifth-round pick as a rookie. But then you have the 13th overall pick in Lucas Van Ness, who it's like, I mean, in my opinion, yes, there are some positions with first-round picks where it's not necessary that they play immediately, or it's probably better that they wait even. But edge, not really one of them, at least not specifically where it's like, I think you got to wait for this guy. And you drafted him 13th overall. We all know he's a very talented player. You're very high on him. Like, yes, Enagbare had a great rookie season, but unless Van Ness clearly is showing that he's just not close to that level and really needs more time, I would very much like to see him out there. I mean, if he's not starting, at the very least playing a ton of snaps, but I don't see why. Like, it's almost weird that I'm talking about it now and I'm thinking, like, how wild would it be if this 13th overall pick starts week one. It shouldn't be that wild. Like, no. For the Packers, it is, and I get it. Like, it's not like I'll be freaking out if he's not the starter, because I do think they have another good option in Ngakoue, but I just think you're drafting a guy 13th overall. The other guy, great story. I do think he has really good potential, but he's a fifth-round pick. This guy's one of the top picks in the NFL draft. Unless you think putting him out there is going to be detrimental to his progression and the team, he should be out there and getting those snaps. Devontae Wyatt, we waited, 13 weeks for him to start playing, and when he started playing, he actually started showing some flashes. So, like, why wait? You know, if you're going to put him out there anyway and you're hoping you're going to see those stuff, get him out there early. And, yes, it's not always going to be perfect, but that's how you grow. Don't delay it 8 to 10 weeks just to delay it. You're going to put him out there eventually anyway. So I don't see why it doesn't happen earlier than later, but I don't know how you see it.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hey everybody, here on the Packaday Podcast, we're all about look good, play good, and that's why I'm super excited to announce our new sponsor, Oakley. Oakley is changing the game, and it's time to discover a whole new world of possibilities. Do you run, golf, work out, or just want to look like Aaron Jones? Then you need to get yourself a pair of Oakleys today. Last season, I saw Aaron Jones wearing his signature Oakley sunglasses, and I knew I had to have a pair. My Oakleys fit me perfectly, and I've loved Oakley style since I was a kid. There's just that extra boost of confidence I get when I'm wearing them, and that's why I wear them every single day. Suited for everyday eyewear with frames and lenses that allow for an expression of your own unique personality, there's more than meets the eye. With summer just around the corner, you're going to want to upgrade your sunglasses game right now. Check out Oakley.com to get yourself a pair. Personally, I'm a huge fan of the frog skins. Did you know that Oakley even offers prism lens technology? What the hell is that, you ask? It's a proprietary technology to Oakley and available for everyday settings as well. Want to know more? I know you do, so head over to Oakley.com and do your own research. And while you're there, get yourself a pair of everyday glasses that'll be sure to change your look for the better. When you wear Oakley, there really is more than meets the eye. Don't trust me? Try for yourself. I've worn a lot of sunglasses brands in my life, and I can assure you, Oakley is not only the best looking, but the best quality out there. Head over to Oakley.com for more information today.
No, I think that, I mean, the edges, I think, I agree. Like, I feel like the defense is a lot more, difficult position battles based off of, you know, one being there's holes to fill from injuries, big injuries right now. Number two, like the talent wise, obviously there's been, you know, draft picks that have been allocated towards bringing in defense, and there's been free agents acquired. So like, let's stick with the edge. Like the edge rush has been really kind of, you know, in dire straits ever since Za'Darius left. And then Rayshon Gary was good last year, but like they only had that two man really with him and Preston. He goes down and Ngakoue did step up, but it's like you look at who's going to start on the edge or even just play in the preseason and training camp. Like I think it's almost like I would be shocked at this point if Van Ness doesn't get an opportunity to basically lose the job. I think Ngakoue is a good player. I think, you know, Jonathan Garvin probably missing some of this. Like hopefully he can get his foot in the door, but like Justin Hollins is a guy. Like, I think there's a ton of guys that could have an opportunity. I think Andy even mentioned Ladarius Hamilton, like, had a good couple snaps on Tuesday or Monday at OTA. So it's like there's a wide open door for someone to be a starter. Like, it doesn't, it just, there has to be a starter plugged in there. And you could really, if you really, really were on the, you know, not Preston Smith bandwagon, like, I think he's going to be close to 31 once the season starts, or damn close to it once in the middle of the season. Like, he had a good year last year, but it's like at some point, one of these guys that I've already mentioned, like Eric Wilson, possibly even too, I'm just throwing all the outside linebackers in there because why not just make this an absolute money?
That guy, Brenton Cox Jr.,
not sure where he's going to line up, but like that's another opportunity for a guy I'd like to see pop off in OTAs. Like someone's going to eventually take over Preston Smith's job. Now, is it probably Rayshon Gary or Van Ness? More than likely. Like, I think that's probably true, but like there's still a spot for another edge rusher to get involved.
I mean, I know it's not like right tackle and left tackle, of course. Yep. You see guys move around, but what I can remember, I mean, it's not exclusive, but Rayshon Gary's usually on the right side. Preston's usually on the left side. So it will be interesting to see. And Van Ness, I believe, mostly lined up on the right side as well in college from what I've seen. Again, this is not like 100%. I'm talking about generally. So it will be interesting to see whenever Preston's time does come, who's going to end up over there. But I will just say, and I'm sure I've said it here before, I love Preston Smith, and I don't think you were saying otherwise, but I hope he continues to, you know, even if whatever, it's 6 to 8 sacks, but he's making impacts. Listen, he's a great locker room guy, a leader. And what's honestly a little exciting, and it won't be the start, of course, because of Gary, but let's just say week 8, week 10, whatever it is, like the Packers could have realistically a rotation where you have Gary and Preston out there starting, and then behind them, you still have Van Ness, Inigbare, and then still Hollins, who I think, you know, he's not necessarily a star, but he's not as unknown. Like, you know, he's a solid veteran guy. He's going to make some plays. He made some plays in the few opportunities he had already for us. So that's a solid group 5 deep right there. You know, last year, it's like, all right, next guy up, Jonathan Garvin and Ladarius Hamilton. And it's like, you know, very nice, but let's be real. Those guys are not consistently making plays. They're not consistently bringing pressure. So it's really exciting to think what this group can turn into. And of course, we're not even talking about the fact that there can be Preston and Gary out there, and you could still have Van Ness lined up on the inside coming in, you know, next to Kenny Clark and Devontae Wyatt. I mean, think about that 5-man front. It's exciting, and we always say it. Just got to say it one more time. Joe Barry, I mean, gosh, you've got nothing. This is it. I'm saying you have no excuse. Like, this is it. And I think we've said it already on the show, but again, like, I don't think it's all right. We're giving you a full season. Like, Joe, if we're trash and it's week 7 or 8, thanks for the effort, but we'll see you next time. Like, enough's enough. You can't. And I don't think it's just like, all right, let's have another season where we finish 25th in every big statistical category, and then we'll worry about it. No, like, do what you did with McCarthy, where it's you can start that search already and look around the NFL and look at defensive coordinators and see who's doing what live right there in front of you and make it work. Like, let's be real. We're not realistically competing for a Super Bowl this year. It's not going to be so detrimental. Of all the years with Rodgers, fine. You don't want to fire a position coach or whatever, a coordinator. I get it. You know, you always think you're going to go to the Super Bowl. You don't want to start the drama, whatever. You're not going to the Super Bowl this year. If Joe Barry can't get it done with his defense, I don't think he makes it to week 10, or at least he should have.
That would be crazy for them to fire. I'm just even looking like who would take over. I guess maybe Jerry Montgomery probably could. I mean, maybe Kirk Olivadotti, the inside backer coach. Like, I don't know who else, because like obviously we don't have Jerry Gray there anymore. Like, that's an impact that's missing. So, you know, bringing it back full circle, I think once they do have that healthy, you know, assuming everyone stays healthy in the meantime, once Gary's back, it's gonna be fun to really see just that front seven, or specifically the interior, then the edge guys, like, just go crazy. Because I think, you know, I'm very confident whatever rotation it looks like in the interior of that defensive line, just of like the other guys they drafted. You mentioned Wyatt, you know, Slayton. I'm Kenny Clark. I'm really excited to see what that group looks like. And I think that's one of my most confident things going into the season. I think my last one, you know, obviously corner, I'm a little bit nervous just based off of where injuries are. I think once Stokes comes back, they'll be okay. I think they can even tread water until then. I don't think it's as crazy as it is, like, not to have Stokes out there when Nixon can do his thing. But the main one for me, honestly, and it might be the biggest one across the entire roster, is safety. And I know this has been beat to nauseam probably from anyone that's listened to Packaday podcast or any sort of Packers outlet, but the safety spot is really, really detrimental. It's clear at this point Adrian Amos is not going to be brought back. Actually, didn't he sign somewhere like last week?
No, I think I didn't see that.
No, he's not. He's still a free agent. I thought I must have dreamt that. So he's more than likely not going to be brought back. Maybe it was something that, like, they gave the number 31 to someone or something along those lines. But it's like,
Owens.
Yeah. So I was holding out. Yeah. I was holding out hope that Amos would come back, just because it was like, maybe they're going to get him on a cheap deal. They got through the first wave, second wave of free agency. Maybe there's something wrong there. You know, I'm not sure what's going on that he hasn't been signed yet. It seems kind of strange that, you know, a 30 year old safety hasn't been brought onto a team that's generally been productive his whole career, besides maybe last year and a little bit of half of 2021. So you have Savage, in who I don't think most fans are confident in. I think he's almost fallen into that category of like the haha Clinton Dix, just like, be out there and don't screw up. Like, I just, please don't make a boneheaded mistake and just play like shit. And at this point, if that's really what you're looking at as your number one starter, and then everything after that is just a mess between Rudy Ford, Tarvarius Moore, Levitt, Enos Gaines, Anthony Johnson Jr., and then Jonathan Owens, like, that is just, it is a cluster. Like, Tariq Carpenter more than likely is just going to contribute on special teams, and he's kind of solidified himself now into that linebacker role. I can't believe that this is the safety group that they're going to roll out. And for whatever, you know, success I think the corner group can have, I think they're going to definitely be handcuffed or hamstrung a little bit by the safety group just being so inexperienced and so ineffective. I don't know if there's a guy that I'm like overly confident that can bust through. I mean, I loved Rudy Ford in that Cowboys game, and he continued to have some success later in the year, but then definitely was up and down way more than I wanted to see him. I think Anthony Johnson Jr., I know a ton of people are jacked up about, but I'm not so sure if you can put a rookie out there. Tarvarius Moore, good Madden guy, real fast, real, you know, has good height and stuff, but doesn't really translate to the NFL field as much as you would like. Enos Gaines probably has just been more of a training camp darling than anything. And then Dallin Levitt, just a special teams ace. I don't really put much weight in Jonathan Owens. And Benny Sapp III, like, he's on the roster right now, but I'm not so sure he makes it through the final cut. So I listed basically every safety there, Eli. Do you have any sort of, I mean, are you concerned as much as I am at the safety group? Or is there someone that you're like, you know what, Matt, it's going to be okay. Darnell Savage might suck, but we got this guy that I'm very, very, you know, feel strongly about.
I wish I had something where I can say there's one guy that's a cure-all for the whole thing. I don't know if I feel that confident in anyone, but I definitely think I feel a bit more confident than you currently do. Number one, I don't see Jonathan Owens as kind of like a whatever signing. I don't think he is a star cover safety. But as a roaming safety, and I think most important, like, for me, what I really want to see out of a safety, like, yes, if a safety can really cover great man-to-man, that's awesome. But you don't need both of your safeties to be covering man-to-man on a down-to-down basis. So what I really want to see out of a safety is him being able to make those open field tackles where you know he's got to make it, or maybe no one else will and that guy's gone. And also coming up and putting down a hard hit near the line of scrimmage, just someone who can really go out there and bring someone down. And Jonathan Owens, at the very least last year, playing in all 17 games, which is also great, but 125 tackles. It's a lot of tackles for a safety to put together, and he was efficient in the way he did it. Again, he can probably improve as a cover safety, but I think if you have him out there roaming more, not necessarily playing with a bunch of man, I do think he's someone who can be serviceable at least. I am confident. I think we're both confident in Anthony Johnson Jr. I do agree. We're going to have to see something either in camp or in the preseason to validate these feelings. But I do at least feel confident that it is very possible that he will show something, or even if it's not immediately, but I think he's better. I put it this way. I don't think he's a seventh round pick. I don't know how or why it happened that way, but it just happens sometimes like that. But I do not think he should have been a seventh round pick. And then, I mean, I get it. I kind of agree about Savage. You know, it's really hard to get behind Darnell Savage right now, which sucks, because I would say in, of the last probably 5 years when I've really, really dug deeper into the draft than most of my life before that, Darnell Savage is probably my favorite prospect that I've ever watched. Like, literally, I was so obsessed with the idea of him being drafted by the Packers. And then when it happened, you know, the Packers never draft who you think they, you know, you want them to draft. So it nearly blew my mind. I bought his jersey before his rookie season. Like, and remember there was the whole 26-21 Savage, he almost switched. And I was like, oh my, I'm such a schmuck. I just bought a 26. This guy's going to switch to 21. I'm going to have a worthless jersey. But it turns out I have a worthless jersey for a totally different reason. No, that was obviously a joke, Darnell. I'm still a big fan. And I hope so much that you prove me and everyone else wrong, because I really, really, like, love him as a player, and he also seems like a great guy. But I mean, realistically, I do think he's going to be given a chance, whether it's at nickel or at safety, just because of who he is. But I don't think that that should, like, if he goes out there and it's not looking any different than it did the last year and a half, he should not continue to have that job just because his name is Darnell Savage. He was a first-round pick. There are other guys that could possibly do it. So we'll see. Why not? Because I said it already to someone else, so I'll say it here. And if it turns out I'm wrong, then who cares? I say Jonathan Owens and Anthony Johnson Jr. are your starting safeties week one for the Packers. And I think it works out relatively well, at least. It won't be a complete disaster. And I think we see Savage in some kind of extra defensive back role or nickel, something like that.
Still a fan even after that comment. Interesting. I think it's interesting too, if you think, like, even the start of the episode or middle of it, talking about Josh Myers and the guys that are around him and where the pressure is for him, it's almost like similar to Savage, right? There's a ton of guys in that safety room. It's kind of his job to lose. It seems like he should be head and shoulders above where everyone else is there, but it's still, you know, a lot of people, I think, you know, fans at least, and, you know, pundits are looking at it like, hey, these guys need to step up. And I'm sure it's the same thought in the locker room. Like, hey, we need you to hold your stuff down because we have some younger guys around you that we want to, you know, impact the game. Anything? I mean, this might be a shot in the dark. I mean, I understand special teams tough really right now. Obviously, Mason Crosby is not on the roster. It's, you know, Anders Carlson is the guy there. They got a new long snapper the other day. It seems like that's been a carousel. Pat O'Donnell's there. It seems like, you know, Andy talked about a couple weeks ago that he thinks there maybe should be some competition there. Any thoughts on, you know, where the special teams room is, or is it just kind of where the overall thing is for the Packers right now? A lot of just like unknowns and a little bit of question marks across the board.
I do believe there are definitely question marks. I think kicker, actually, no, I'd say punter. I mean, I think it's relatively new that they signed Daniel Whelan, the punter.
I guess
there is some amount of competition for O'Donnell. I do agree with Andy on that. Like, I do like O'Donnell, but I think he was definitely not as good last year as he was in 2021. Hopefully he brings that back. But then looking at what I really want to look at is long snapper, because I was not at all a fan of Jack Hogo. I feel like every snap, it was low, it was high, it was out, it was in. It was so like not smooth. And Mason usually worked around it, but that, you know, you don't have anymore a 15-year vet, you know, a Hall of Fame level kind of kicker. So whether it's Matt Orzech, who they signed a few months ago, who, I mean, I was surprised. Like, when they signed him, like, I think as boring as a long snapper signing is, I was pretty excited. I'm like, okay, this guy's a veteran. He's been around. Like, that's it. We're not – no more long snapper discussions. But now they signed this guy, Broughton Hatcher, which, great name.
You got it.
Broughton Hatcher, that sounds like something on a farm. I don't know what, but it's like, I got to go out to the Broughton Hatcher. But either way, I don't want to think, like, every week, am I going to see the snap that bounces in the dirt or nearly makes a kick miss or causes him to delay, he gets blocked. Just snap them. I don't know, it's like one of the most overlooked things, but it's also overlooked because, like, everyone does it and it rarely messes up, but it seems not so simple for the Packers recently. So hopefully that gets figured out. And then in terms of Anders Carlson, like, I think he's definitely going to be given the shot to win that job. You know, they drafted him, but, like, you know, it's going to be weird. Let's be real. We've been watching Mason for so long and feel so confident. Anything is going to feel weird. I will just say, and I doubt it, obviously, at least before the season, but Brandon McManus was released by the Broncos today. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are some names out there, but I do obviously hope Carlson lives up to the draft pick, and even if it's a bit of a shaky start, becomes our guy, because we don't want to be one of those teams where every year or every seventh week there's a new kicker, because that's brutal.
100%. I think it's, you know, same with long snapper, same with punter, same anything on special teams, right? I mean, besides the microscope that's been on the punt return and kick return game, is you kind of just take it for granted. And to have, you know, a long snapper now, a new one come in, basically done with the Mason Crosby era. I thought maybe he would have been gone over the last 2 years. It seems like officially gone, but you mentioned Anders Carlson, like he is definitely a guy, he is definitely a guy that was brought in by Rich Bisaccia. They trust his analysis on him, and clearly where they drafted him, it's like they're very, very confident that he's going to be a guy that can replace. He's got a big leg, drafting him in the sixth round. So we'll see what happens, man. I mean, a lot of battles to be had. We mentioned like the seven guys that aren't there at OTAs. I think it'll be great opportunity for some of those younger guys. Mentioned like the outside linebackers, I think have a great opportunity there. Some of the corners and definitely some of the offensive linemen and receivers, of course, that have potential to bust out and hopefully over the next couple weeks of OTAs have an opportunity to prove themselves, and hopefully they can carry that momentum and that, I guess I would say, buzz, if you will, from the fan base into training camp. And as we get closer to preseason, like continue to make strides of that. Cause I think it's kind of a clean slate for a lot of guys, right? It's there's no, shadow of Aaron Rodgers anymore, Devontae Adams, or whatever player you want to throw in there. It's a lot of guys that can prove themselves on a super, super young team that was young last year, but now are even more significantly younger this year with the loss of a couple other veterans and just like the way they drafted and other players they brought in. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to get through more OTAs. And by next week when we record, we should have a full week plus of OTAs to talk about. So I'm excited for that. Obviously if you guys are listening to Packaday Podcast on the podcast side, please rate, review, subscribe wherever you listen, whether it's be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Please, hit the notifications, like, subscribe, comment, tell us if we're doing great, tell us if we're doing shitty and how we can improve. We appreciate that. If you haven't yet already, I've plugged it about 12 times, I feel like, in this episode, but make sure you go check out the YouTube side of Packaday Podcast. Andy does a great job over there. And this time of the year, I've said this before, but like this time between February and basically before the season starts is like some of the best analysis you'll get, because Andy has the time, just like everyone else does, to dive into this offseason stuff of whether it's certain players or buzz that's going on. It kind of gives you the inside lane to that water cooler talk or that Friday night bar stool, where you're sitting with your buddies around happy hour saying, "Hey, I heard about this guy," and you can kind of give them the little insight, because this is the time of the year where, headlines or maybe rumors can become headlines, where during the season, it's basically, everything's very, very planned out and everything goes according to plan and injuries here, success there. But make sure, like I said, go check out the YouTube side, subscribe there. Some really, really great videos Andy's put out in the last week. And of course, if you're not following us on Twitter yet at Packaday Podcast, please do so. For myself, you can find me still on Twitter at @Matt_Frey_. Anything Packers related, feel free to tweet at me, DM me if you got any hot takes. I'm excited. We didn't really talk about it enough. Eli, I know they talked about it earlier in this week, but I'm pretty excited for the NFL draft in 2025. Yeah. Super stoked about that. Living in Green Bay, I'm really, really excited to see just what that looks like, and obviously already trying to figure out what's going to happen. It sounds like even Wes Hodkowitz on as Wednesday when recording, it sounds like they're even putting some plans in place of where they're, just infrastructure and operations. Like, okay, we're going to put a stage here. It sounds like they have $7.5 million budget for stuff. So I just think that area is going to be awesome to see what they can do, because just between Lambeau, the atrium, the Rush complex, wherever they want to put some stuff, they're going to have an opportunity to do so. And I'm excited to see how they plan it out. And we've seen that over the last couple of drafts, right? Since it left New York, is like, it's very, very up in the air, right? It can be in a Music City Hall, it can be in a stadium, it can be in an event center, it can be outside, basically. It can be wherever you want. You can make it yourself. I mean, shit, they could put it on the sledding hill and up at the top of the head. Like, there's so many opportunities. I'm excited to see do. So
that would be such a great way to send the draft picks down. Like, you just get picked and then you push them down the hill. Oof, that's good.
Someone mentioned that a while ago. I was like, that would be insane. That would
That would be fun. I already, within probably about 15 minutes of the news coming out, I already checked every website. No booking goes that far in the future. Okay. So then, like a real psycho, I started calling hotels, but they're like, nah, you're going to have to wait like a year to book stuff. Either way, obviously, I will, or hopefully, I mean, barring some apocalyptic event, I will be there in Green Bay in April 2025. I hope everyone listening makes it out there too. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing for Green Bay. It's going to be an awesome experience. And as I've always said, as long as you take anything out of New York, it gets significantly better. So the draft every year, that it stays away from New York just gets better and better. And I think 2025 will be the best.
Yeah. I love that you already called hotels. That's awesome. That's smart.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. Like you could have possibly secured it, but I'm sure you're not the only person listening to this right now that maybe had the idea or thought about the idea. Cause I think it's important to start making those arrangements. And I can only imagine once those go live, what those prices will be at.
Well, yeah, of course, Matt, you know, if anything falls through, I'll make sure to show up at your door.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a couple extra bedrooms. I'd be happy to do that. And if you're acting like a dummy, I'll just put you out in the screened-in porch or in the basement, but you'll still have a roof over your head.
Wow, I really feel like home then. Perfect.
Eli, what else do you got going on content-wise, and where can everyone get everything a hold of you during this offseason?
Number one, I would just want to tell everyone listening to check out mine, Janelle Mackey, who, of course, is our other co-host here on Packaday, and Zach Jacobson, our new show called The Pack. It's going to be weekly, obviously, throughout the season. During the off season, it may be more bi-weekly, but we continue to update everyone on what we're doing over on Twitter. So make sure to follow The Pack on Twitter at @thepack_show. Also find us on YouTube at The Pack and subscribe there. We should be having an episode next week. It's going to be a good one, doing some draft stuff where not NFL draft, like we're drafting things where we'll get some heated debates over some of these rankings we got going. So we'll keep you updated on that. And of course, my own Twitter over at @BookofEli_NFL, and any of my writing will be over at PackerReport.com.
Good stuff. Food drafts. What do we do? Pop culture drafts. What are we thinking?
So we're gonna start it off with more of a Packer themed draft. Probably something like top games or maybe top plays or moments. But yeah, we plan on. I enjoy those kind of draft situations. So yeah, I think we're gonna go and venture all across the world of drafts and get people real heated up about what's going where.
It's a good time to do that in the off season. Yeah, man. I hope this episode can see the light of day, Eli. Like I said, it might not, you know, ever become a reality. It might just fall into the abyss that is pre-recorded Packaday podcast episodes. Maybe there'll be some great news that will be trumped with on Friday a recording, and this you'll never be heard. But if not, we hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And as always, go Pack Go.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.